pray you'd help us to pay attention, to look at it closely. Help us to remember all the things you have taught us in the past, and help us to build on top of that what we know to be true from your word, and help us to build upon that, and that we might be refreshed, encouraged, challenged. Help us to always turn back to your word when we get off the path, like the song we sang earlier this morning about the steps. And help our steps are leading us, hope we're following you, and that our steps are going to the right places, that our hearts are at the right place, that our eyes are at the right place, that our ears are listening to the right things, that our hands are doing the right things, that all of us, Lord, our whole body, Lord, I pray, Lord, it will be a vessel unto honor and for your use. And I thank you for your forgiveness, your cleansing power. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, okay, so just to get the adult class up to speed, let's ask a few questions, set the scene. All right, Joshua is the leader of what people group? All right, Israel, very good. And he took the place of what previous leader? Moses, I heard it, Moses, very good. All right, so we're on, and okay, so now, where is Joshua leading his people to? Promised land. Isaac, got it. Promised land. So, I'll let my students read, and Isaac will read sometimes for you too. He's doing pretty good. All right, so let's read together. I'll read for you, Isaac. You follow along, Isaac. Pay attention. Don't lose your place. All right. And it came to pass, when all the kings which were on this side Jordan, in the hills and in the valleys, and all the coasts of the great sea, over against Lebanon, the Hittite, and the Amorite, and the Canaanite, and the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, heard thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. So why are they gathering a bunch of people together? Any idea? Do you think they might be a little scared? Turn over to, hold your place here, but look up Joshua 2:9. Joshua 2:9. Sometimes we think there's strength in numbers, so we gather more people or armies together so we can go, conquer. And we think there's strength in numbers, usually. I mean, it makes sense. You know, it's like, would you like one guy like to take on 10 guys? No, that would not be fun. Let's look and see what Joshua 2:9 says. And she said unto the men, I know the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon, and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Oh, so here we have the testimony of a woman, the harlot that hid the spies in Jericho there. And she is reporting about the hearts of the people in the land that Israel is coming to drive out and stamp out. And there's fear there. I mean, okay, remind me. They heard about what God did bringing the children of Israel through the Red Sea. Can you just roughly tell me how many years ago that was at that point when she said this? Nobody knows. Okay, When they came through the Red Sea, what did they do? They didn't do so well in obeying the Lord, and they had to wander in the desert. How many years? Do you remember how many years they had to wander in the desert? 40, right? 40 years of wandering. How many things can you remember 40 years ago? Well, some of you aren't even that old, right? But the older ones, when big events happen, people talk, right? And when memorable events happen, people talk. Sometimes they get written down, and nowadays they're, newspapers are beginning to be old too. Now it's the internet now, but word gets around, and so these people are afraid. So they're going to try to gather. Back in Joshua 9:1, they're trying to gather a bunch of people together so they can go and stop these people of Israel, because they've heard about them. Let's refresh our memory. What God commanded Israel to do. Turn to Deuteronomy 7:1. Deuteronomy 7:1. And let's rehearse for ourselves quickly what the instructions from God were to the children of Israel, what their task was upon leaving Egypt, upon being freed up there, freed from their bondage and their slavery. And let's see let's refresh our memory here. Deuteronomy 7:1. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, even nations greater and mightier than thou, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Okay, so these are God's instructions for the children of Israel. He repeats it to them multiple times. So it's clear, it should be in their memory. Jump back to Joshua 9 and see what happens, see what they do with those memories. Joshua 9:3. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work wildly. You know what wily means, right? And that's kind of shifty, crafty, evil, right? And went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses, and wine bottles old and rent and bound up, and old shoes, and clothed upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy, and went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, "We be come from a far country. Now, therefore, make ye a league with us." And when the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, "Man, peradventure ye dwell among us, how shall we make a league with you?" Okay, so he knows he's not supposed to make a league or a covenant with the inhabitants of that land. And they said unto Joshua, "We are thy servants." And Joshua said unto them, "Who are ye? And from whence come ye?" And they said unto him, "From a far country ye, thy servants are come because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to King Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore, our elders and all the inhabitants of the country spake to us, saying, take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, we are your servants, therefore now make a league with us. This our bread we took hot from our provision out of the house on the day we came forth out to go unto you. But now, behold, it is dry and is moldy. And these bottles of wine which were filled were new, and behold, they be rent. And these are our garments, and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. Okay, that we know that we've read this story before. We know that was their mistake. And now let's be reminded now, right here. Don't forget this verse. It's good to have verses rattled around in your head. That one verse the pastor had preached from the other day was still rattling around in my head. Probably not good enough because I can't remember it now. But what was it? Maybe somebody can help you. You guys are much smarter than me. What was it? It was the carnal brings death, but spiritual brings life and peace. Okay, I'm failing to quote that verse, but that is a really good verse to ponder on. Anyway, Joshua knows he's not supposed to make a covenant with people of the land, and he's being deceived here, and he fails to ask counsel from the Lord, and that's a really good reminder for us. So many times we think we know what to do, we think it's obvious, and we just plod on ahead. We push on ahead, not asking the Lord about it. You know, whether it be confidence that we have in ourselves or what we think. Because something happened last time, something same should happen this time, or whether it's maybe I don't want to ask God because I'm afraid of the answer, or whatever the case may be. We need to ask the Lord. All right, Leah, where did I leave off? She's good at keeping track of me.
Verse
15, thank you. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days, after they had made a league with them, that they heard that they were their neighbors and that they dwelt among them. And the children of Israel journeyed and came unto their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon and Chephirah and Beeroth and Kirjath-Jearim. And the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord of God of Israel, and all the congregation murmured against the princes. Now, this murmuring, we're going to talk about that for a few minutes. There's a lot to talk about in this chapter. We've already looked at, we think there's safety in numbers. We looked briefly about proceeding without God and asking Him. And now, let's take a minute and look at murmuring. Murmuring. Murmuring is, it means to grumble, to complain, to utter complaints in a low, half-articulate voice, to utter sullen discontent. Murmuring sounds really bad, doesn't it? And we've all murmured. We need to catch ourselves from murmuring. Now, here in this verse, Joshua 9:18, you think, they got something to murmur about, right? I mean, their leaders made a deal with the inhabitants. They were deceived, and they didn't ask God about it. And they made a deal. So they got something to complain about. But I don't think murmuring is the proper way to go about expressing your grievances, right? Murmuring has a connotation to it. This like, pastor wants to do us have us do this, or you know, I don't like the way pastor preaches, or whatever. You know, you can just hear, not in this church, of course, but you can imagine, picture. It's so easy to complain. It's so easy to complain. We don't have all the details. In fact, let's turn to Exodus 17. Exodus 17. Let's look at another example about murmuring. And Exodus 17, 1. Therefore, Moses, the leader, leading the sometimes not so faithful people. It says in Exodus 17:1, and all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and all our children and our cattle with thirst? They're murmuring. Now, did they have a real need? Yeah. They were thirsty, very thirsty. They needed water. Do we have needs sometimes? Yeah, we do. What is our response, though? Is it like these people that just murmured? It's like they're ungrateful, they're short-sighted, they have bad memories, they're not remembering all the things that God has done for them in the past, and they're just... Instead of maybe with a different attitude, pleading, asking the Lord for help, for water, they're murmuring. See, murmuring. So I don't think there's any place for murmuring. It's the wrong way to express our issues, our complaints, our problems. I'm sure many men notice at work, you know, people murmuring, you know, about how things are done. That's not the proper response. Let's look at another example, Luke 5:29. Another example of murmuring. Luke 5:29. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? So here's another example of some people murmuring. They don't understand. They don't know. They don't see what's going on. They don't see how Jesus came to save sinners. They don't. Their minds are blinded with. They think they know the answer. They think they know the truth. So they're murmuring out against what they see. And often that's the case. We see something, we murmur, and we're so lacking in the full story, the full picture, the full explanation. We're very quick to murmur. So let's look at Philippians 2:14. Another verse that we consider about murmuring. But this is more of a commandment to us about murmuring. Philippians 2:14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Pretty short verse. But it's pretty clear. Wow, do all things? All things? Really, do I have to do all? Really? Now, how do we murmur? No, when we're asked to take the trash out at an inconvenient time, without a word, can we show murmuring on our face? Maybe. Or maybe we're asked to do something else. And, you know, there's all kinds of ways we communicate, isn't there, besides even words. Our hearts have a hard time hiding what's in them. We can see pretty clearly on our eyes, our face, our countenance, this thing called the countenance of our face. It's pretty clear, usually, what's going on in there. All right, let's turn to, I forgot to read. Philippians 2:15, I stopped short there. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shines as lights in the world. So we're set. We need to be different. We're supposed to be shining. And when we're not murmuring and complaining, our response might be different. When we hear something, somebody complain about something, we can start offering suggestions. Well, you might not be seeing this clearly, or well, you might be wrong. Or anyway, God tells us not to murmur in Philippians 2:14. Let's look at Jude 1. Jude 1. Let's see what kind of group the murmurers are put into, okay? And we don't want to be that group. So let's look at Jude 1:14. There's lots of different groups in the Bible, and there's some things we want to be associated with. There's some things we don't want to be associated with. Here's the murmurers group we don't want to be associated with. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. So, I don't want to be in that group. So, Lord, help me not to murmur. Help me not to complain. Let's go back to Joshua 9. Joshua 9:19. But all the princes said unto all the congregation, we have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. Now therefore, we may not touch them. This we will do to them. We will even let them live, lest wrath be upon us because of the oath which we have swore unto them. Isn't that interesting? We swear this oath, and that so much locks us in. That we can't obey, understand. I'm not sure how to reconcile all that. We can wrestle with that later. But wow, we don't want to make an oath to do the wrong thing and feel that we have to continue and do it. Nah, something's not right there. But I haven't really got to the end of it yet. I'm sure some of you will. let's do verse 22. And Joshua called for them, and he spake unto them, saying, wherefore have ye beguiled us, saying, we are very far from you when ye dwell among us. Wow, they were beguiled, all right. And what's that word beguiled remind you of? You know, like in the Garden of Eden, right? We go to that often. You know, how the serpent beguiled Eve and got her to believe a lie. Over and over and over again throughout history, the same thing can happen. We listen to the wrong things. We're easily deceived. Our heart, ourselves is deceitful, above all, desperately wicked. We're easily led astray. So we need to be close to God. We need to be asking Him. Verse 23 there. Now therefore, ye are cursed, and there shall none of you be freed from being bondmen and hewers of wood and drawers of water for the house of my God. And they answered Joshua and said, because it was certainly told thy servants how that the Lord thy God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore we were sore afraid of our lives because of you and have done this thing. And now, behold, we are in thine hand, as it seemeth good and right unto thee, do unto us. Do. And so did he unto them, and delivered them out of the hand of the children of Israel, that they slew them not. And Joshua made them that day hewers of wood and drawers of water for the congregation, for the altar of the Lord, even unto this day, in the place which he should choose. So what a predicament they got themselves in by not asking God about it first and by believing the lies. They got messed up. They got, and they, I don't know. You have to study that one out for me, okay? You young preachers. Here's a question for you that I don't have the answer for. Right off the top of my head. Did Joshua and his men do the right thing by standing by their oath not to kill them? And then therefore not obeying the instructions that God gave them. What a dilemma. You think on that. And that's your homework for this week. You can get back to me, you young preachers. All right, in closing, let's turn to Colossians 2:2. Colossians 2:2. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. All right, my friends. We've got the Bible, and we need to stick to it and stick in it. It's full, it says here, all the treasures and wisdom and knowledge from God right here. And how are we going to stay away from the beguiling and enticing words? We need to stick close to the Word of God. We need to be in it every day. Oh, I trust you. I'm pretty sure everybody is, right? We need to be not reading it because we have to read it. We need to really read it because we need to be fed. We need to be fed from God. And God can feed us through His Word. Oh, it's so true. I always get And I don't, you know, I'm a pretty simple guy. I always get a little something, a little nugget every time I read the Bible. And it keeps me on, keeps my steps going the right direction. And I'm thankful for that. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your patience with us. We thank you for your faithfulness in trying to teach us. We're thankful for the Word of God. I thank you for your admonition here to read it and to see the wonderful treasures that are contained in you, in your word. And it reminds me of the word became flesh and dwelt among us. It reminds me of Jesus. It reminds me of the word back and forth. It reminds me of the Holy Spirit teaching us through your word. Lord, you have so wonderfully blessed us. And it's like in things in our life sometimes, you know, we're like the children of Israel. You have this promise, many promises for us, like them, you know, the promise to go into the land, to be blessed, to fill it up, to drive out the inhabitants, and yet, you know, many times fear held them back. And you know, what is in our hearts, Lord, that prevents us from moving forward into your blessings? What in our lives distracts us so to keep us from it, you know, being prosperous in a spiritual way? You know, what do we got to let go of? What do we need to believe in the Bible to move forward, move ahead into the things that you want us to go to? Our Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are just always calling us when we get off track. I'm thankful for that. And I pray, Lord, you bless each one here today. That may they find your word precious. May they find your truths to be just everlasting, eternal. And I pray just bless now as we take a short break before the morning service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.